today on Real Radio.
Why would God want you and I to know that he keeps his word and that his word is ahead of tomorrow's events? Why would he want us to possibly know that he knows the future? There's nothing in it for him. He's God. I think you got out of those verses. He's not out to prove anything to anybody. He doesn't have to. It's for us.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Where Is Your Faith? Part 4 continues a series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. The Apostle Peter began his life as a simple fisherman who, through divine intervention from Jesus, became a disciple and through the power of the Holy Spirit became a leader of the first Christian church. Peter was rough around the edges, to say the least, but this later proved to be just what we needed, a leader that didn't back down from the enemy and live life with a combat style of faith. But Peter was also a man of God who taught us to love and to be loved by the Savior. Peter was adamant about sharing his faith and what it means to have faith. Now, for one thing, having faith in Jesus Christ means that we have a faith that's grounded in truth and based on the Bible. It's not based on some general person or man-made system or even on church attendance. Our faith is based on the fact that Jesus Christ was crucified and God raised him from the dead, making salvation possible for all who believe. This is why Peter encourages us to be courageous in sharing our faith and to spread the gospel wherever we go. So today on day 2 of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that God knows the times and the seasons, but what he wants us to know is that he keeps his word and that his word is ahead of tomorrow's headlines, ahead of sickness, ahead of pain, and ahead of anything we're about to face. And now in his message called Where Is Your Faith? Part 4, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
And then the word confirmed is the word authoritative. That's where we get our point today. His authoritative word. The word confirmed means authoritative, firm, secured. Listen to this. Grounded, unalterable. It's not going to change. The word of God never changes. Why? So you and I as humans might have confidence. Nobody trusts anyone whose word constantly changes. When the stories don't match up, best thing to do is just walk away. But Jack, how do you know this Bible? You talk so, you're so loud about the Bible. Because it's been confirmed. I see people talking real loud about the LA Times or the New York Times or the Washington Compost or whatever else is going on. And they're so passionate about it. You don't know nothing about it. I only know one thing, the Bible. Only know one thing. God's authoritative. Yeah, I love it. God says and does exactly what he wants to do, exactly what he wants to say. History has borne that to be a fact. Mark it down if you would. Isaiah 46, verse 9. Isaiah 46, verse 9 says, oh, and listen, have you ever seen God flex? You know? I'm talking flex. This is how God flexes. It's not, don't get me wrong, it's not biceps, it's not trapezoids. Here's how God flexes. For I am God. There is no other. I am God. There is none like me. This is what he does. Declaring the end from the beginning. Who can do that? Nobody can do that. Crazies try to do it. They don't. They never succeed. And from ancient times, things that are not yet done. That's the God of the Bible. That's his authority. I tell you about things that haven't even happened yet. That's the God of the Bible. That's authoritative, friend. That's awesome. Isaiah 45:21. Declare what is to be. Present it. Let them take counsel together. Who foretold this long ago? Who declared it from the distant past? There's a question mark there. Do you see it? He probably paused, waiting. Then he answers, was it not I? The Lord? And there is no God apart from me, a righteous God and Savior. There is none but me. By the way, there's only one Savior. God says there's only one Savior in the book of Isaiah, only one. I'll give you one guess to figure out who he is. Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. Don't you like when God flexes like that? I love it. Isaiah 42, verse 9. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare before they spring forth. I tell you of them. This is my God. And then, of course, Jesus in John 14, 29 says, and now I have told you before it happens or before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. Isn't that awesome? Why would God want you and I to know that he keeps his word and that his word is ahead of tomorrow's events? Why would he want us to possibly know that he knows the future? I mean, if you think about it, what's in it? Well, there's nothing in it for him. He's God. I think you got out of those verses. He's not out to prove anything to anybody. He doesn't have to. It's for us. God is ahead of the headlines. God is ahead of the car crash. He's ahead of the sickness. He's ahead of the issues. God is even ahead of your pain. He's ahead of it all. I know it's human to say, then why didn't he prevent it? Because listen, our God's authoritative and he's prophetic. I don't know how this is going to work, but it is going to work wonderfully. This I know. That all of the suffering and all of the stuff that you and I have gone through in life, somehow when we cross over to the other side, we're probably going to say, I wish I would have had opportunities to suffer more if this is what it afforded me. Please think about that for a moment. Unbeliever, skeptic in the house, please think about that for a moment. There's that release and that joy and that relief when after having suffered something, you've come through the other side and you go, whoo, wow. If you know that truth in life, how much more in spiritual matters? This last week, I was in a briefing regarding issues that are not even yet known in the world of Christians being eradicated from off the earth. Unbelievable torture, pain, and death. Not known because it wouldn't fly well in the world today. And yet, areas of our government know and they see it happening. And to see people empowered actually weep over the situation that there are Christian pastors being burned to death with Bibles stuffed and wrapped all around their bodies, and their bodies are being completely consumed, wrapped in scripture. And you think about the irony, yet the horror and the beauty of that. Thank God, my God is authoritative. Amen. His word will be kept. Maybe I can put it this way. God's prophetic word, prophecies made, prophecies kept. He has to keep them. He cannot lie. When he says in verse 19, which you do well to take heed to as a light that shines in a dark place, God is saying, grab my word and you hang on to it. You don't need to worry about it. And you just understand this. It shines onto the path that you walk every day of your life. It is shining there. It is illuminating the way. You just keep walking. Listen, that verse 19 implies that we're on the move. Christian, we're on the move. We're on the go. I know. I had a Christian tell me just last weekend, I'm getting out of here. This place is nuts. California is crazy. Oh yeah, you're going to go somewhere where it's not crazy? Why don't you stay and fight? Stay with us. Stay with us. Fight. Fight. It's the right thing to do. Fight. Not all is lost. Our God's prophetic and he's authoritative. How can you say that? Because we do well to take heed to his word. It's like a light that shines in the dark place. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll submit to you this morning, California is the darkest place. But you know what? Scientists will tell you, before the day dawns, the darkest part of the day is just before the sun rises. Did you know that? That's a scientific fact. I believe that we're breathing for a reason. We're not here by accident. As a light, that word as a light, that's synonymous with knowledge. Light is representative of illumination and education. Light is a healer. Did you know that? Are you sick? Do you have a scratch, bruise, cut? Put it in the sun. Light calms the human soul. Did you know that? Did you know that light calms the human soul? What else did I find out? Oh, light exposes hazards. Light is the morning trumpeter of new hope and new mercies. Psalm 130, verse 6 tells us, my soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. You ever been there? Have you ever been sick? Have you ever been hurting? Have you ever been, you know how long the night goes when you're racked with pain? Or you're waiting to get the phone call from the doctor's office, or the baby is sick. The baby's sick and the doctors tell you, we don't know if she's going to make it through the night. And the psalmist says, my soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. As serious as those issues are in our life, the greatest thing of all is that there's a morning coming. And it's going to dawn someday, and the sun will never set. It'll be the day that Christ comes for us. And it'll be a day of all hope confirmed. I wrote this down. Let's see if it makes any sense. It did early this morning. A proper understanding of the prophetic word of God places the Christian in the immediate now of ministry. Christians with the correct view of what the Bible says about the future, number one, are watchmen. Number two, they're evangelistic in their heart. That is, they want to tell others about Jesus. Number three, there's a sense of urgency that time is both working for us and against us. That came to my heart this morning. The sense of urgency, Lord Jesus, come back. But listen, all of us have said it. Lord, come back today, but still, my mom's not saved. You know that feeling? You know that sense? Lord, come today. We know that you could come today, but my sister's still lost. Time is working for us and against us as believers at the same time. And yet, because he's authoritative, we can relax knowing he knows exactly the right moment to come. He knows exactly the right moment for you and I to breathe our last breath. Verse 19 says, until the day dawns, what a hope. Until the day dawns and the morning star rises in our hearts. Until Christ comes. That's what that verse means. Until he comes. That happy anticipation when we see the Son of God coming for us. Second argument under this point is found in verse 20, the Almighty God who alone is protective. He's protective, friends. As I said earlier, he's jealous for us. It says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. I don't need to spend much time on this because you actually pretty much already know the answer to this. The Bible here tells us, understand this. Let me put it in a modern vernacular. No bozo who says, God showed me this, even though it's nowhere in the Bible. God showed me this, and so this is how it is. The Bible says, God's not in that. Well, I know the Lord's never shown anyone this before, but he has shown this to me, and y'all need to follow me. Off where? Off the ditch. The blind leading the blind. No. Scripture, the Bible, is not given for some person to make something up. And boy, are they out there. Oh no, God protects us. Isn't that beautiful? Hey, he's saying, heads up. Don't let any bozo deceive you as though I've delivered some updated version of the Bible. Not going to happen. The word knowing here, gnosko, that word that Peter uses a lot, it means to come. Listen to this. It means to come or to become aware of, to recognize, to perceive, to ascertain. But listen to this. Knowing this verse, knowing. The word means also and can be applied to the keeping of a virgin. Did you? The what? Yeah, the keeping of a virgin. The word means to hold on to and to defend the knowledge, this knowledge. Defend this knowledge like the keeping of a virgin. No prophecy is given for private interpretation. Let me tell you, obviously, the Bible holds virginity as a high virtue. And the word translated here means to take that knowledge of knowing that God's word is true and prophetic and steadfast, immovable. I can hang on to it and I can keep it safe, just like I would my virgin daughter. Are you with me? Yes. How would a father protect his virgin daughter? With his life. With his life. What a great word. You think God's protective? Well, he's protective. You know, Jesus says in another place that in the end, in the day of judgment, there'll be those who taught people wrongly, who taught the scripture wrong, and they're all over today, by the way. The world is just ripening up for judgment. He says there's people that are going to teach the Bible wrongly, and in the end, they're going to be judged. And if in their teaching they caused any little ones to be offended, he said it would have been better for them to have a millstone, that's 1 to 2,000 pound stone, tied around their neck, and for them to be thrown in the depths of the sea before I get my hands on them. Who said that? Gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Oh, he's protective. Thy rod and thy staff, they, oh, say it louder. They what? They comfort me. A staff I get, you know, a staff. A staff's got the hook on it. You know, you'll see that? It's got a hook. He pull you. It's when you wander off, he pulls you closer. Have you ever felt his rod? The rod, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. How am I comforted by the rod? The rod is what he uses to break. And not only it's not only the rod that he uses to break the heads of wolves and of lions and of wild dogs that would come to eat the sheep and tear them up. It's also when a lamb just won't stop sinning. And the rod is what he uses to break their leg. His own sheep, his own lamb. He breaks their legs so they hobble for the rest of their life. They're not so quick to run away. They have to heal on the master's shoulders. They smell his sweat. They hear his heartbeat. They're the closest to his voice. Have you wandered from God? Are you a Christian? Have you wandered from God? Don't be surprised if God takes out his rod and smacks you and disables you from sinning down that course you've been going. It's an act of mercy. And then listen, when he pulls you back and you can't walk because you've been knocked out of commission, the proximity of you being over his shoulders, you know, we got those beautiful pictures of the Jesus walking with the lamb over his shoulders. Like he wanted to do squats with a lamb on his shoulder? No, the lamb can't walk. How come? Why? Because he broke its leg. The shepherd broke its leg. Took out two rocks, stretched out the back leg. Boom! Lets it dangle, lets it set in a very unhealthy manner. So that lamb grows up limping forever. Just ask Jacob. The shepherd took out the rod and smacked Jacob's hip, didn't he? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. If you don't read your Bible, get the one-year Bible, start reading it. Next year, you'll know what I'm talking about. And then finally, verse 21, he's interactive. He's interactive. Almighty God, who alone is interactive. For prophecy never came by the will of man. Oh, people wrote the Bible. That's not what the Bible says. I have found people who criticize the Bible are people who've never read it. I try to love them. I'm supposed to love them. I get distracted because I'm highly entertained by them when they say things like that. Oh, you can't believe the Bible. Is that a fact? Well, how come? And that if you ask them how come, you can hear the train going off the tracks and over the side. They don't know what to say. My grandmother said, that's it, huh, buddy? You're going to hang your eternal destiny on your grandma. Oh, boy. Well, my teacher said, there you go. Nope, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men, devoted men, men who had hearts toward God, which, by the way, is not the qualifier. Here, the qualifier's coming up. Spoke as they were, what's the word? Moved. In your margins, write, born aloft, possessed, animated by the Holy Spirit. Professor William Barclay states this. I love it. William Barclay states this. One way to illustrate this work is to think of it this way. The Holy Spirit used the prophets to write his prophecies like a man uses a pen to write to his friend. I like that. That's awesome. Do you know this God? Can you depend upon him? Can you stake your life on him? Oh, yeah. Father, we worship you today. We praise you today, Lord God. Thank you, Father, that you've given us all that is needed, that our faith might be radically, wonderfully, joyfully, powerfully, energetically rooted in you. That you've not left us alone in this life, but you have written to us the greatest communication known to man. And Lord, I pray today for anyone who needs to set the record straight between themselves and you, to put faith in you, to trust you, to believe you, to follow you, to determine today, I believe that this Bible, this truth, is where I belong. I need him in my life. Friend, wherever, whoever you may be, you can tell him right now, Lord Jesus, come into my life, take control of my life, wash my sins away, cause your Holy Spirit to take possession of me, that I might be your child, that I might live for you. As I repent of my sins today, God, I am so sorry for the wrong that I've committed against you by hurting others, by sinning against others. In thought and in deed, I have offended and sinned against you, Jesus. Tell him, ask him. Be my Lord. Save me now. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in a message called, Where's Your Faith? Part 4. We're glad you joined us today. And you know, whenever God means to come to us, nothing is going to stop him. He will level mountains to come to his people. Where is your faith? Part 4. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter, a series about the Apostle Peter, whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio.
Does it seem as if our country has lost its moral compass? Are you as concerned as I am that our nation's freedoms are declining instead of thriving? Well, Pastor Jack's book of the month for June is called Samuel Adams, A Life by Ira Stoll. This fascinating biography on one of our founding fathers is sure to both inspire and motivate you to help preserve America's Christian values. Thomas Jefferson called Adams the spirit of the Revolution. When a British general offered Samuel Adams great wealth to end his cause for liberty, Adams' response was, "I serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I need no king." Yet we've all but forgotten him. This is why Pastor Jack wants us to know about Samuel Adams and to be that intentional in our fight to maintain our God-given freedoms. Ira Stoll not only restores Samuel Adams to his rightful place in history, but gives the reader new insights into this uncompromising man of God. Samuel Adams, A Life by Ira Stoll. It's available at our website, jackhibbs.com, for a gift of any amount, so be sure to order your copy right away. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.